To be sure, we are in the midst of crises. We're living in chaotic times. It's almost surreal to think about what is happening in this world today. Just think for a moment of the new yet common vernacular of the day. Social or physical distancing. Black Lives Matter. Asymptomatic carrier. Most of us have probably never heard these terms. And yet, during times like these, how sweet it is to reflect, to put our minds on God, on scripture, and the nature of this world in view of the current chaos, so that you and I might navigate through it. I said through it. Could it be, beloved, that your natural and first reactions were fear, panic, anger, regret, irritability, numbness, shock, anxiety, fatigue, grief, crying, restlessness, hopelessness, helplessness, depression, withdrawal, confusion, moodiness, agitation, headaches, frustration. Even an attempt to gain control or the illusion of control. And just outright give up. Yet, you have taken a deep breath and committed to learning the Red Sea lessons to get through. Lesson number one, God either led us here or allowed us to be where we are right now. Two, you're more concerned for God's glory than you are for your relief. Three, you're keeping your eyes fixed on God. Four, we're praying through quadruple pandemic with crisis or crying time prayer. Five, you're giving God time to work. The writers of the Word of God would say, wait on the Lord. Six, God is leading and guiding us step by step. one day at a time. We're practicing the presence of God daily. And so, by now, you must be asking, is God going to do anything here? And our text answers emphatically, yes. Do you see a primary theme, a common thread running through the seven lessons we just reminded you of? Has not God, our God, brought you to a place where the focus and the emphasis of our God journey through our quadruple crises is to trust God? To trust God, regardless of whether he responds as we would like him to or not. It's natural, though, to want God to do something, isn't it? How God confident are you that God is going to act in the midst of what we are going through right now? How God confident are you? The message, the teaching moment seems to suggest strongly that it's about increasing our faith and expecting for our God to act. That's the subject of our next, of this lesson. I say to you, I suggest to you, trust God to deliver God's way. Trust God to deliver his way. Go back. I don't have to paint the picture in your mind of where God had brought Israel from. Years, hundreds of years of slavery. Raised up Moses. Led them out. And now they're in a situation. God is about to move. Put yourself in Israel's place just for a moment. And let's say that Moses had calmed us down. Do you think that Israel would have imagined the parting of the Red Sea manna of deliverance? Do you think that Israel thought about God opening the Red Sea? Yet, silent and still, and suspenseful, they watched an old man, Moses, raise his rod over the way Red Sea. And then suddenly, a gusty eastern wind hit the water fiercely. The waves began to form walls that became a highway for Israel and later an ambush for Egypt. Did you get that? A gateway to Israel, but a graveyard to Egypt. It was one of the Old Testament's most striking object lessons. One of God's greatest miracles. Its simple lesson is to trust God to deliver his own way. That's God's specialty. Deuteronomy 23, searching scripture, and verse number 14. The Lord your God walks in the camp to deliver you. Deuteronomy 23, 14. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Galatians 1 verse 4. Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever. The promise of God is he will deliver. God is our deliverer. But now, does God still deliver from financial trouble? Does God still deliver from marital problems? Does God deliver from emotional and mental confusion? Does God deliver from harm and danger, from self-destructive habits? Does God deliver from disease? Yes, he does. Absolutely. But we must have God's perspective on deliverance. Because God does not always view, God does not always see things the way we do. We're reminded and even warned in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. We must see God's deliverance not by emotional reflex, not by human standards, not even by common sense, but by Bible truth. God will indeed deliver his children from every evil work, from every peril, from every problem, from every pressure, even from death itself. But hear me, please. There are no cookie cutters in heaven. God does not have a standardized, a same size fits all solution to our multicolored problems and challenges. He treats, our God treats every situation as singular and special. Yes, he does. And he designs, he customizes a unique, tailor-made deliverance to our every trial and trouble. Does God still part Red Seas? Does God still do miracles? Yes, he does. Whenever he chooses to. God can heal disease. God can save us from financial crisis. God can preserve troubled marriages, strained relationships. God can bring prodigals home. God can give us his peace. God can satisfy our souls. God can mend our broken hearts. His arm is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. We have a God who begins with the impossible and goes on from there. Now, although miracles still happen, even in Scripture, miracles were not God's standard operating procedure. He only used them in certain periods of Bible history. The Exodus, the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, during the life of Christ, and the early days of the apostles, to name a few. But throughout most of the Bible, God helped his people in ordinary providential ways, rather than in open supernatural ways. And the same is true today. And this is why I suggest to you that Christians, disciples of Christ, pay special attention to accidents, to what we call sometimes coincidences, to setbacks. Because in reality, beloved, there are no such things. Only the providential ordering of a God who watches over his prayerful and trusting children, and whose unseen hand is guiding and guarding, arranging and rearranging circumstances for our benefit. How is it that the old Hillside and the old Maywood is now the new Maywood? Do you think that with kinfolk's intelligence and my feeble know-how had anything to do with it? That was the providence. That is the providence of God rearranging the histories of two to make one. In the unfolding of the providence of God, burdens become blessings. Tears lead to triumph. Grace overcomes the undercurrents in the lives of his people. For us, God works all things together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purposes. Providence. A compound word to see on the one hand and forward or on behalf of on the other. Providence, to see forward. In other words, when God sees before, he sees 2. I said, when God sees before, he sees through it. His seeing is always with a view of doing, of supplying, of sustaining, of providing. When God inspects, God effects. And then, not only the miraculous, and not only the providential, but God has some mysterious ways. Right after, in Hebrews 11, God cites, he itemizes some miraculous and providential escapes for his people. The Hebrew writer changes tone at verse number 35. If you're there, please read.
Women receive their dead raised to life again.
Read.
And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Yeah, read.
And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts. And in mountains. And in dens. And caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through.
Watch this now. Read carefully, kinfolk. Read.
And these all having obtained a good report through faith. Received not the promise. God having provided.
You're reading, kinfolk.
God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Now, when God does not overtly or openly deliver through a miracle, or covertly deliver by providence, he will deliver mysteriously. Stay with me now. I'm almost there. And by that I mean, with a deeper level of intervention than you and I can discern. Let me put it another way. In the end, it's going to be better for us. Did you hear me, church? In the end, it's going to be better for us. Though, for a while, we might be perplexed. We might be unable to clearly understand. I go back to Paul's last letter, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 18. He said, the Lord will deliver me. That sounds like he's bragging. It's all right to brag when you're bragging on God. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Beloved, why do you think we're still here? Yet, Paul was beheaded a few days later. His body was cast aside, and his head was tossed in a grave after him. Was Paul delivered? After all, I think yes. He was snatched away from the evil that surrounded him. He was removed from tears and pain and stress and sickness and taken to a place where Satan could no longer harass. Where Satan could no longer harass him, and where Satan was not present. Isn't that far better? Isn't that far better? Thinking about today, beloved, is every Christian who is sick ill? Is every Christian wealthy? Is every marriage struggle-free? Is every Christian married? Is every Christian emotionally stable?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Is every Christian humble? Is every Christian a disciple? Much to think about, isn't it? In the whirlpool of God's mysterious ways, I bring before you John chapter 13, verse 7. Underline this in your Bible, please. John chapter 13 and verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." We may not understand completely COVID-19 now. We may not understand Trump in the White House now. We may not completely understand the racial injustice that has been plaguing society now. But we will know after this. Can I suggest to you, this is a carry me through verse. Not guide us through, not help us through, but carry us through. This weight, this verse has sufficient strength in it to take us up off our feet and cuddle us in its arms and carry us through quadruple pandemic. It's a midnight hour experience. And it suggests that no matter what we are going through, knowing that I may not understand it now, but later, later, something better is waiting for you and is waiting for me. And that's good enough for us. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. I forget the name of the guy who wrote this, but let me give you a little bit of what was happening in his life. He had summoned a chariot to take him out a ways to a beach where he was going to take his own life. He must have been in London, England, or somewhere where it was foggy, and it got foggy, and the carriage driver, knowing what the man was going to do, just went up and down, back and forth, up and down, back and forth, and what have you, until finally he was back at the person's home and suggesting to him, you know, "Be back at home, be back home." And the person who was going to take his life said, well, why? How did that happen? He said he lost his way, got foggy. And this was his response. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense or weak-mindedness, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So how do we reconcile his miraculous ways, his providential ways, his mysterious ways? How do we reconcile that with God's promise to deliver us? There's no easy answer here. And I'm coming, we're sharing, we're here, we are brought here in this moment by God, just so that we can share and spiritually interact. But for whatever reasons, beloved, many of which are known only to God, he chooses to act in ways that seem or appear contrary to us. But in the midst of our pain, though, God wants us to trust him. I said, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our quadruple pain, God wants you and I to trust him. Trust him when we don't understand it all now. Trust God when you're faced with decisions. Trust God when our future appears uncertain. I hear the proverbial writer crying out, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. With all of your heart, lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge God. And he will make a way. His definition, his focus for specific situations may indeed be different from yours and mine. God will not always act on our behalf. Amen. How many of you wanted Trump in the White House? How many of us wish he was successfully impeached? I'm not a political preacher, but I'm just saying. How many of us wish that COVID-19 would disappear? God doesn't always act just the way we want him to act. And there just might be a difference, a big difference, between our human expectation and God's divine actions. And when this happens, it can somehow intensify our journey. I just want to remind you, according to scripture, according to the word of God, God will fix it. God will fix it. I can almost hear Sister True Blues Mama singing that song in Maywood. God will fix it. But God's fix may not be your and my fix. He may not fix it like we want him to fix it. Beginning at verse 16 of Daniel 3, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. I like the way I think the King James puts it. He says, the God whom we serve will deliver us. But if not, we still ain't bowing down. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's time for us to walk by, but if not faith, and not just talk by faith. I said, it's time for us to walk by, but if not faith, and not just talk by faith. In Job chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, the Bible says,
then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither.
Naked shall I return thither.
The Lord gave.
The Lord gives.
And the Lord hath taken away.
The Lord hath taken away.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Underline that. God's fix may not be your fix and my fix, but nevertheless, regardless of what happens, you and I ought to be ready, willing, and able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, our God. I don't know where you are. I have a sense of where you are because I'm there with you. But please remember, regardless of what happens or when, we are going to trust our God. He can deliver us anywhere he wants to. And until then, because we know that something better is on the horizon, we ain't just going to talk by faith. We're going to walk by, but if not faith. And our voices will resound from deep within. Blessed be the name of the Lord, our God. Now, right now, I extend the Savior's invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden, a word describing exhaustion. A word describing so tired that you are exhausted. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Come. Come to God. Come to Jesus. and put wholehearted trust in him to deliver you in his own way, just because that's his specialty. Our Father, the great I am, Almighty God, we come confessing. And in and of ourselves, we do want relief. We do want out of our right now quadruple crises in our lives and even in the world. Father, we confess that there are moments in our lives when we want you to fix it, but we want you to fix it our way. Have mercy upon us, O God. Have mercy upon us, O God. And cause our hearts to be moved to repentance. As we ask your forgiveness, we ask your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us and refreshing us to call to our remembrance. Your ways are not our ways. And your thoughts are not our thoughts. Give us wisdom to see our Red Sea moments and your way of deliverance. To see our Red Sea moments from the perspective of your way to deliver us. Be pleased, O God, to give us ears to hear to give us eyes so that we might see, and to give us hearts to trust what you are doing in our lives. Touch the hearer who's outside of your spiritual family today to come to you, trusting you and obeying you, so that you might deliver them from the slavery to sin. We give you praise because you are our deliverer. Thank you, Lord. May your will be done and our will be gone in the blessed name of Jesus. We offer this prayer and amen.